Well, tomorrow, unfortunately, fellers, I will not be here.
Boo.
It is my first Friday off of the year.
Oh my gosh.
That's a lie.
This man has never worked a Friday. Ever.
He's the Musers of the hard line.
He is. You know what?
This makes no sense at all.
What a perfect line.
So he has taken so many. Oh, don't even tell me, DJ. I'm taking.
Don't try to redirect here. No
vacation
way.
Vacation days of anybody on this show, hands down. Period.
The Muser of the hard line is like the best.
Oh yeah.
Gosh, get that made into a liner immediately.
Whatever. So I'm going to an event.
No way.
Over the weekend. Yes.
Does it involve live music?
With your millionaire friends?
No, unfortunately. Well, you never know. But we are going up to San Francisco.
Commercially?
Commercially, yes. It's flying on a regular plane.
Thank you, American.
Yes, thank you, American Airlines.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. To go see the 60th anniversary shows of the Grateful Dead.
It's 60?
60.
Oh, I misread that in the story. I thought it was 50.
No, their first shows were in 1965, and they're all from, obviously, San Francisco. They got their start in Haight-Ashbury, and they're playing at Golden Gate Park. So Golden Gate,
that's where Kezar is.
It
right.
is, yeah. Kezar smack dab in the middle. Old Kezar Stadium where the Cowboys and Niners played the NFC Championship game.
Roger and Dwayne Thomas took out the Niners once upon a time.
That's right. Now it's kind of stripped down to its bare
It's like
bones.
A high school stadium.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Can you see Alcatraz from there?
You cannot.
There's a lot of trees.
Yeah, unfortunately, you cannot. It's on the other side of town of where you can look out and see Alcatraz. Oh, that's right. Dave wasn't with us on the San Francisco trip.
He's never been in a Waymo.
Oh, man.
That's right.
Well, I plan on being in several Waymos as the band celebrates their 60th anniversary. And, yeah, Jerry's dead and all that. And I think they've had, much like Ozzy, a lot of stops and starts as far as, like, this is it, guys. This is it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is it. I hope it's not. This, of course, is the John Mayer-led Grateful Dead. It's something that he actually likes to do instead of playing his boring-ass songs.
How many original or at least near-original members are left?
I think that there are four left. No, God, Phil Lesh died. Are there three left now?
But are they all in their 80s?
Yeah, late 70s.
Due to math?
Yeah. Yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Bob Weir may be the youngest, right, on the because Bob Weir and Jerry are the two most well-known of the Grateful Deaders, and Bob was the youngest of the band. But, yeah, it's their first show that they played in Golden Gate Park was in 1966, and their first shows were in 1965, but the first time they played the park was in 66. And remember, whatever you see on TV or if you see, like, a documentary on the 60s and you see all the hippies dancing around in San Francisco, and that's Golden Gate Park. And Golden Gate Park is one of the true treasures of the American park scene. It's absolutely enormous, and it's a lot like Forest Park in St. Louis, where it houses so many different things, whether it's a football stadium or a zoo or, you know, in this case, it's a giant field where I don't even know 50,000 people are going to descend upon it to see these shows. But the Grateful Dead are San Francisco, and San Francisco are the Grateful Dead. So it was fitting to have these shows there. Their 10-year anniversary show in 1975 was there. You know, the Altamont tragedy that happened when the Dead played at Altamont and the Rolling Stones played there when the guy got killed. You remember that story? And you know the story of Altamont?
The Hells Angels?
Yeah, yeah. And the Hells Angels were the security, air quote. That was supposed to be at Golden Gate Park, and then it fell through, and they moved it to Altamont Speedway, and it just was beyond a disaster there. In a lot of ways, they say that the Dead kind of demanded to play Golden Gate Park at their 10-year anniversary to try to bring back the good vibes that were supposed to be at Altamont. But the Dead, they played there, I don't even know how many times they played at Golden Gate. And the first time I saw them was in the early 90s, and before Jerry Garcia died, and I'd never been to, like, I'd been to one, what I would consider adult rock and roll concert. Like all the concerts that I went to in the 80s were bands of our generation, right? Like you go see all these bands that you listened to on the radio that were cool and up and coming at the time. And in like 89, I went to a Cotton Bowl show to see the Rolling Stones. So this was like the second big legacy rock show that I went to up in Kansas City with my friends in school. We drove up there one day, and I could not I'd heard stories about what a Grateful Dead show was like. I could not believe it.
Were you a fan before you saw them live for the first time?
No, I wasn't. I didn't really like jam band music that much. I'd seen Widespread Panic, I think, once at that point, and that piqued my interest. They played in Dallas. Trip and Daisy opened up for them in the late 80s, early 90s, when Trip and Daisy first formed, opened up for Widespread at the Rhythm Room, the old Rhythm Room over there by SMU. And so that kind of got me interested in that whole scene, and I had friends that were huge Deadheads in college that were way into it. They're like, let's go up there. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Tickets were cheap. You know, you sit in the lawn for $15 or $10 or whatever it is, and we alternated paying for – I had a friend that was going that lived up there that was going to KU at the time, so we stayed up at his house, drove out there to the show, and I'm telling you, I've never seen a bigger circus in my life. And you get there like 3 or 4 hours before the show, and you just walk around, and your mouth is dropped the entire time at what you see, because I'd never been to a show before where there were – just as many 20-year-olds as there were 30-year-olds, as there were 40-year-olds, as there were pushing 50 at the time, because that's the people that went and saw them in the mid-60s for the first time. That was, you know, basically 30 years later, and they were right around 50 years old. And so you had all of these people that were really, really into this band of all ages kind of commingling at the same time. It was bizarre, because you think about every show that you went to as a kid or younger, it was everybody your age.
Right.
It was just you saw everyone that you thought you would see that was maybe 5 years older. And even if somebody was like 5 years older, you're like, whoa. What is it? Like you saw like one of your sister's friends that you knew that they were 3 years old. Like, God, they're kind of old to be going to this stuff. Well, this band, it was just this never-ending circus of live shows. And they're obviously the kings of the live show. They had to have grossed more money than anybody over the last 60 years doing the live thing. They, at a time when everybody made money in rock and roll based off of selling records, and then you did the concerts to promote the live records, they did the opposite. Or to promote the records. They did the exact opposite. All of their money came from touring. Nobody was buying Grateful Dead CDs.
Yeah.
And so they knew that. And so,
and at what point in their career did they start fostering the trading of tapes of the live shows?
Very early on, where most bands would say, you're not allowed to record anything. Like the famous Good Times or What's Happening episode when they got busted recording the Doobie Brothers on the front row.
Yes.
Remember that? Rerun had a big like cassette player on it, and they got busted and it fell out or whatever. Well, they didn't care. That was the way, and it was genius, and no other band really did it. It seemed like at the time, trading tapes was a way to spread the gospel of, like, listen to this. You're going to freak out when you hear this.
Yeah, and now when you go, you'll see people with professional rigs like tower mics,
yeah,
like directional mics out in the crowd.
That was the craziest thing the first time I went was right by the soundboard, which you see at every show, obviously. They've got this very ornate, expensive soundboard. You would have hundreds of these big boom mics sticking up out of the crowd recording the shows. I was like, I thought they were filming a movie or something. I didn't know at the time what was going on. Again, I wasn't that big of a fan or anything. But it took me one show to be like, this is crazy. This everything I want to live in this world as much as I possibly can. And then Jerry Garcia died and kind of all went to hell in a handbasket. But
not all Jerry's live forever.
That's true.
Just ours.
That's true.
How much music are you seeing?
So it's three nights, and I'm seeing two. Going Friday and Saturday. We're staying in Sausalito.
Are we?
Yes.
Okay.
DJ, Sausalito, thumbs up.
I could never afford to stay there, but good for you.
Yes, you could.
There
it's a
are,
hotel.
Two other follow-ups. Number one, golf.
No golf.
No golf.
No, because the shows start at 4 o'clock. Like, tomorrow, we land and basically are... I'm on an earlier flight than my friends, so I'll have some time to kill, and I'm going to get a bike and go cruise around Sausalito. Maybe go on a hike. I don't know. But, like, there's an opener. Billy Strings opens tomorrow night, and he goes on at 4. And then he plays for a couple hours. And then, like Dave said in E! News, there's a 20-minute break. The Dead come on, and they play 3 hours.
Wow.
So it's like a five-and-a-half-hour show. And then Saturday, Sturgill Simpson opens up, same time, 4 o'clock. He'll play 2 or 3 hours. Then the Dead will play 7 to 10. It'll end at 10 o'clock, and then you're on your own.
All right, then the other follow-up question, Nanking?
Nanking for lunch.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes,
good, good.
We're going to Nanking either tomorrow or Saturday for lunch. It's the Chinese place down there.
It's Keanu Reeves' favorite restaurant.
In Chinatown, Dave. Hard by the Tenderloin.
We'll be there Super Bowl week.
There is no doubt we will be there Super Bowl week. But, yeah, we got a good foursome going, and I can't wait.
Maybe he'll be there.
I've never.
Look at that shirt.
Is that a Dead shirt?
Yeah.
I've never been to one of these.
He does not want to talk to you, Dave.
I've never been to one of these. I went to the Pearl Jam 20, the Pearl Jam 20-year anniversary show up at in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And other than that, I've not been to one of these ginormous anniversary shows. But this is about, bucket list-wise, this would be right at the very top. So,
do you think there'll be free love?
I think we've moved on from free love, like sex in the park, like they had in the 60s. I don't think that's going on. Although, if somebody that was, like, doing it then would like to do it now, I'll watch.
All right. Well,
I'd like to see that happen.
That's quite an offer you're making.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Have a good weekend.
I will.
The rest of us will work on Fridays.
Okay. That sucks for you.